Lightened with His Glory. Appendix C. Selected LNG. White 1888 Materials. Volume 3. What pain of heart I have because of the spirit which has characterized the board meetings and councils. What a spirit has been brought into them. The ideas and opinions of one affect another, and there has been a large amount of cavilling and witticism. A witness has been in your meetings and registered it all. These weapons debase the one who uses them, but give him no victories. There has been a bringing down of sacred things to the common. Witticisms and your sharp criticisms, after the infidel style, please the devil but not the Lord. The Spirit of God has not been controlling in your counsels. There have been misstatements of messengers and of the messages they bring. How dare you do it? There is a satanic accusing of the men who should be respected, whom God is using. I would not now rehearse before you the evidences in the past 2 years of the dealings of God by His chosen servants, but the present evidence of His working is revealed to you. Be careful how you take a position against Elder Wagoner. Have you not the best of evidence that the Lord has been communicating light through him? I have. The Lord has raised up messengers and endued them with His Spirit. Let no one run the risk of interposing himself between the people and the message from heaven. You are altogether too sharp and severe toward your brethren who are younger in years, and yet whom the Lord is manifestly using to give light to His people. The Lord Jesus is dishonored whenever brethren of the same faith accuse another and lessen the influence of one of God's delegated messengers. The enemies of truth will make the very most of the least item by which they can excite suspicion of the men through whom God is giving light to the people. To place any obstruction in the way of this light coming to the people will be registered as a grievous sin in the sight of God. Let not the influence graciously given you of God to save souls from ruin be employed in weakening the influence of others whom the Lord is using. You have thought that you could see inconsistencies in A. T. Jones and E. J. Wagoner. In the intensity of their feelings they may make mistakes. Their expressions may sometimes be stronger than will impress minds favorably. But I know of no sins greater than cherishing jealousy and hatred toward a brother who presents a view that is not in exact harmony with their understanding of the Scriptures. Self arises, a fierce and determined spirit is aroused. They will place the brother in a position that hurts his influence. Upon whom does the hurt come? Upon the Son of the Infinite God. Your brethren are not as worthless rubbish, that they can be held so cheap as some have been during the past few years. In the books of heaven there are stern records to be examined, in regard to the manner in which some have dealt with the purchase of the blood of Christ. We should be the last people on the earth to indulge in the slightest degree the spirit of persecution against those who are bearing the message of God to the world. This is the most terrible feature of unchristlikeness that has manifested itself among us since the Minneapolis meeting. Sometime it will be seen in its true bearing, with all the burden of woe that has resulted from it. We have expected that an angel is to come down from heaven, that the earth will be lightened with his glory. But this mighty angel comes bearing no soft, smooth message, but words that are calculated to stir the hearts of men to their very depths. Some may say, I do not hate my brother. I am not as bad as that. But how little they understand their own hearts. They may think they have a zeal for God in their feelings against their brother, if his ideas seem in any way to conflict with theirs. Feelings are brought to the surface that have no kinship with love. They show no disposition to harmonize with him. They would as lief be at sword's point with their brother as not. And yet he may be bearing a message from God to the people just the light they need for this time. Will the Lord's messenger bear the pressure brought against him? If so, it is because God bids him stand in his strength and vindicate the truth that is sent of God. When the truth is presented by one who is himself sanctified through it, it has a freshness, a force, that gives it a convincing power to the hearer. The truth, in its power upon the heart, is precious, and the truth addressed to the understanding is clear. Both are needful the word and the inward testimony of the Spirit. There has been a determined effort to make of no effect the message God has sent. Should the Lord's messengers, after standing manfully for the truth for a time, fall under temptation, and dishonor him who has given them their work, will that be proof that the message is not true? No, because the Bible is true. I ask, what means the contention and strife among us? What means this harsh, iron spirit, which is seen in our churches and in our institutions, and which is so utterly unchristlike? I have deep sorrow of heart because I have seen how readily a word or action of Elder Jones or Elder Wagoner is criticized. How readily many minds overlook all the good that has been done through them in the few years past, and see no evidence that God is working through these instrumentalities. The Lord has given abundance of evidence in messages of light and salvation. No more tender calls, no better opportunities, could be given them in order that they might do that which they ought to have done at Minneapolis. The light has been withdrawing from some, and ever since they have walked in sparks of their own kindling. The levity of some, the free speeches of others, the manner of treating the messenger and the message when in their private stopping places, the spirit that stirred to action from beneath, all stand registered in the books of heaven. Men have done so much harm in their blindness, working against the messengers and messages God has sent, that I fear it would be a great mistake to reward them by giving them positions of trust as true men to be depended upon. Avoid all impressions which savor of extremes, for those who are watching for a chance will seize hold of any words strongly expressed to justify them in their feelings of calling you an extremist. Then let not the chosen of God be found in opposition to the messengers and messages he sends, not against brethren, not against the Lord's anointed. Some have made confession. Others have made no confession, for they were too proud to do this, and they have not come to the light. They were moved at the meeting by another spirit, and they knew not that God had sent these young men, Elders Jones and Wagoner, to bear a special message to them, which they treated with ridicule and contempt, not realizing that the heavenly intelligences were looking upon them and registering their words in the books of heaven. The people of God have had an opportunity to see what is the work these agents are doing. And yet those who are opposed to the points of truth which they brought out will, if occasion affords them a chance, make it appear that they are not in harmony with them, as much as to say, beware of what they teach, for they carry matters to the extreme, they are not safe men. I pray that these men upon whom God has laid the burden of a solemn work may be able to give the trumpet a certain sound, and honor God at every step, and that their path at every step may grow brighter and brighter, until the close of time. The more closely we walk with Christ, the center of all love and light, the greater will be our affection for His light-bearers. You cannot love God and yet fail to love your brethren. We should pray not only that laborers may be sent forth into the great harvest field, but that we may have a clear conception of truth, so that when the messengers of truth shall come we may accept the message and respect the messenger. Both message and messenger have been held in doubt by those who should have been the first to discern and act upon it as the word of God. Fear to ridicule the message or the messenger. The true Christian will fear to make light of God's message, lest he may lay a stumbling block in the way of a soul. The message given us by A. T. Jones and E. J. Wagoner is the message of God to the Laodicean Church. The many and confused ideas in regard to Christ's righteousness and justification by faith are the result of the position you have taken toward the man and the message sent of God. Why take so much account of that which may appear to you as objectionable in the messenger, and sweep away all the evidences that God has given to balance the mind in regard to the truth? No one who has enlisted to serve God will be free from temptation. Satan will say, "Do not be carried away with any whimsical notion. Do not work like a slave unless you are well paid for it. You, nephew Frank, did unite with those who resisted the Spirit of God. You had all the evidence that you needed that the Lord was working through Brethren Jones and Wagoner, but you did not receive the light that these men had a message from God, and you had made light of both message and messengers. Never before have I seen among our people such self-complacency and unwillingness to accept and acknowledge light as was manifested at Minneapolis. I have been shown that not one of the company who cherished the spirit manifested at that meeting would again have clear light to discern the preciousness of the truth sent them from heaven until they humbled their pride and confessed that they were not actuated by the Spirit of God. They were actuated by the same Spirit that inspired Korah, Dathan, and Abram. The angel of the Lord said, "The people are acting over the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. It is not you, Ellen White, they are despising, but the messengers and the message I send to my people. They have shown their contempt for the word of the Lord." God meant that the watchmen should arise and with united voices send forth a decided message. Then the strong, clear light of that other angel who comes down from heaven having great power, would have filled the earth with his glory. The very message that God meant should go forth from the Minneapolis meeting. Heavenly messengers have grieved, impatient at the delay. Message of truth which angels of heaven were seeking to communicate through human agencies justification by faith, the righteousness of Christ. The loud cry cry of the third angel has already begun in the revelation of the righteousness of Christ. I have felt so sorry that you could not recognize the voice of Jesus, the true shepherd. The Lord has wrought out the demonstration of truth before your eyes, yet you did not see, and your heart was not submitted to the leadings of the Holy Spirit of God. God may choose instrumentalities that we do not accept, because they do not exactly meet our ideas. Then begins the dissecting of character. Why question and find fault with one another? Why misinterpret and misconstrue the words and acts of your brethren? Is there no better work for you to do than to discourage one another and try to put out the light of your brethren? I had hoped that the truth which has been shining in clear, distinct beams of light since the Minneapolis meeting would flood your soul. After this he saw in the review the articles of Brother A. T. Jones in regard to the image of the beast, and then the one from Elder Smith presenting the opposite view. He was perplexed and troubled. He had received much light and comfort in reading articles from Brethren Jones and Wagoner, but here was one of the old laborers, one who had written many of our standard books, and whom we had believed to be taught of God, who seemed to be in conflict with Brother Jones. We are not to spurn the message nor the messengers by whom God shall send light to his people. Those who opposed Brethren Jones and Wagoner manifested no disposition to meet them like brethren, and with the Bible in hand consider prayerfully, and in a Christ-like spirit the points of difference. Brother Jones has been giving the message for this time meet in due season for the starving flock of God. Brother Jones seeks to arouse the professed people of God from their death-like slumber. Instantly Brother Gage is aroused. He harnesses for the battle, and before the congregation in the tabernacle he takes his position in opposition to Brother Jones. Was this in the order of God? Did the Spirit of the Lord go from Brother Jones and inspire Brother Gage to do this work? Who required this at your hand to rise up against the message and the messengers I sent to my people with light, with grace and power? Why have you lifted up your souls against God? Why did you block the way with your own perverse spirit? And afterward, when evidence was piled upon evidence, why did you not humble your hearts before God and repent of your rejection of the message of mercy he sent you? The power of every mind is to be employed, not to hedge up the way before the messages God sends to his people. These brethren might have been God's instruments to carry the work forward with power, but their influence was exerted to counteract the Lord's message, to make the work appear questionable. Every jot and tittle of this will have to be repented of. The opposition in our own ranks has imposed upon the Lord's messengers a laborious and soul-trying task, for they have had to meet difficulties and obstacles which need not have existed. The influence that grew out of the resistance of light and truth at Minneapolis tended to make of no effect the light God had given to his people through the testimonies. In the blessings that have since accompanied the presentation of the truth, justification by faith, and the imputed righteousness of Christ, they have not discerned increased evidence from God as to where and how he is and has been working. You have but in a partial way been in harmony with the work that Brethren Jones and Wagoner have under God been doing to bring up the church to understand their true state and come to the supper prepared for them. Why did you not accept the message I sent through my servants? Why did you watch those men to find something to question and doubt, when you should have accepted the message that bore the imprint of the Most High? Can you not discern who has the message to give to the people for this time? Think you, my brother, if the Lord has raised up men to give to the world a message to the people to prepare them to stand in the great day of God, that any one could by their influence stop the work and close the mouth of the messengers? No. Is the work that has been going on since the Minneapolis meeting of God? If not, it is of another spirit. I know that the Lord is in this work. He saw the articles by Elder Jones on the formation of the image, and was greatly blessed in reading them. Then came Elder Smith's article opposed to Elder Jones. This brought him into trial just before the week of prayer. We must not disparage the Lord's message or his messengers. My brother, I am not pleased to have you feel as you do in regard to Brethren Wagoner, Jones, and Prescott. Had these men had the cooperation of our ministering brethren, and had they drawn in even cords, the work would be years in advance of what it is now. It is not pleasing to the Lord for you to retain the feelings you do in these matters. These men, Jones and Wagoner, are working in their line and must attend to the duties of their section of the work, which is of immense responsibility. The course which has been pursued toward Elder Jones has been an offense to God. We have every evidence that the Lord is using Elder Jones, Elder Wagoner, and Professor Prescott, and with this evidence before us, it pains my heart that any of my brothers in the faith should feel impatient and bitter toward them, and refuse to draw in cords of love and unity with them. Brethren Prescott, Jones, and Wagoner are fallible. You are fully as fallible. They may err in some points. You also may err in some points. The Lord has raised up Brother Jones and Brother Wagoner to proclaim a message to the world to prepare a people to stand in the day of God. Light from heaven has been called excitement. We must be very careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God in pronouncing the ministration of His Holy Spirit a species of fanaticism. I have been afraid, terribly afraid, that those who felt the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will come to the conclusion that God's heaven-sent blessings are a delusion. I am indeed sorry both for Brother Prescott and Brother Jones. I have felt very anxious in regard to them both, but especially in regard to Bro Jones, who is so ardent in his faith and does not manifest the caution he should in his statements by pen or voice. I did pray that these dear brethren would be so completely hid in Christ Jesus that they would not make one misstep. I have more confidence in them today than I have had in the past, and fully believe that God will be their helper, their comfort, and their hope. Keep the heart with all diligence, lest by one unwise impulse we shall grieve and distress one of the Lord's chosen messengers. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Bro, Jones and Prescott are the Lord's chosen messengers, beloved of God. They have cooperated with God in the work for this time. These brethren are God's ambassadors. They have been quick to catch the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, and have responded by imparting the heavenly light to others. Let every soul who has received the theory of the truth now take heed how they treat God's messengers. Let no one be found working on Satan's side of the question, as an accuser of the brethren. Some will exalt the messenger above the message, forgetting that it is God working wondrously through him for his own name's glory. They should give glory to God because they see through the interpretation of the word from the lips of the messenger marvelous things out of the living oracles. Some will ask why it is that these messengers who fed us with the bread from heaven should make a mistake. Men who have been chosen of God to do a special work have been imperiled because the people have looked to the men in the place of looking to God. The Lord has chosen men to bear light and messages of great importance to the people in these last days. Every inch of the ground had to be fought in presenting the present message, and some have not been reconciled with the providence of God in selecting the very men whom He did select to bear this special message. They ask why it is that He has not chosen men who have been long in the work. God has chosen the very men He wanted, and we have reason to thank Him that these men have carried forward the work with faithfulness, and have been the mouthpiece for God. Those men, Jones and Wagoner, are chosen of the Lord. Did the men who have thus been warned step quickly into the path that was marked out for them, as these two brethren have done? No, they did not, because the chosen of God have been too ardent in their ideas. Let those men who have not received the draft from the wells of salvation, with the men who were chosen to give the message which the people needed in these last days, these men whom God was using, the chosen agents of God, faithful watchmen, men who have borne the message of God, the Lord has given them their message, men to whom God has given the message of truth to give to the world at this time, brethren who have been doing His work, message God has given. Those who are content with the form of godliness exclaim, "Be careful, do not go to extremes." The very men whom God has entrusted with a message for His people have not been treated with respect. The message and the messengers, the men who have borne this gospel message, you have had a hatred of the message which His chosen messengers have proclaimed. The messengers and message God has sent, the message or the messengers, God's delegated servants, the heaven-sent message was truth. Yet many have listened to the truth spoken in demonstration of the Spirit, and they have not only refused to accept the message, but they have hated the light. The Lord in His great mercy sent a most precious message to His people through Elders Wagoner and Jones. This is the very work which the Lord designs that the message He has given His servants shall perform in the heart and mind of every human agent. God gave His messengers just what the people needed. How long will you hate and despise the messengers of God's righteousness, whom the Lord recognized as His servants? You will see that these men whom you have spoken against, Christ's delegated messengers, why do you cherish such bitterness against Elder A. T. Jones and Elder Wagoner? God has given Brother Jones and Brother Wagoner a message for the people. You do not believe that God has upheld them, but he has given them precious light, and their message has fed the people of God. When you reject the message borne by these men, you reject Christ, the giver of the message.